Well, the Binion trial finally came to a halt, and they were found innocent of murder, guilty of some lesser charges. We're going to talk about the overview of the trial and how the jury arrived at their decision, and also the drama of the final day in the courtroom with the one and only Kathy Scott, author of the book, Death in the Desert, the Ted Binion Homicide.
Yeah, but Kathy Scott, this thing came in about high noon, huh?
High noon, everybody. It was announced at 10 a.m. I got a telephone call from the court that the verdict would be read at noon.
So you were there?
I was there.
Can you describe for our listeners a little bit about, I know Sandy Murphy was quite nervous, and I imagine Rick Tavish was too. In fact, everybody in the entire courtroom probably was.
Right. Rick didn't appear that nervous. He later said he told his parents that he felt good about it. His mother said that last time when the verdict came in, the same day as they were waiting day after day for the verdict to come in, he would wake up in the morning and his stomach would just be a mess and tight and a mess. And he said this time he woke up every day and he was calm and he felt good about it. And I knew when the jury walked in, because last time it was so odd, five of the jury women wore sunglasses. So you knew something was up, and then nobody smiled, nobody would look at anybody. This time yesterday, they walked in like any other day, and one of the jurors smiled at another one, and I could tell. I was sitting next to the defense team investigator, whose name I forget, and I said, they're not upset, you know, and jurors are upset when they have to say, when they have to send somebody to
prison.
It's a good sign when they walked in.
Right, and so let's let the audience know exactly what happened. They were found guilty on some of the charges, or at least...
burglary, larceny, two are gross misdemeanors, one is a felony, three counts of burglary, larceny, and something else, and that they could get probation to 16 years. Sandy already served nearly 4.5 years, and the sense on her that she will... get time served and be put on probation. Rick is due to get out of prison, I think, in March of 2005 on some other...
So he could still be sent back to prison?
They could do concurrent with him. The judge could. Judge Bonaventure doesn't usually give the maximum sentence. The sense from I talked to the defense team, the sense from them is that Rick will probably have a couple more years added. With good time, he'd probably get 18 months or so. It's hard to say. Probably 2-3 years at most.
Well, of course, the good news, they had life in prison facing them, and they, right, and so any time they get, I guess everything's relative. It's still unpleasant. And I really am, and didn't really think they proved the conspiracy to commit robbery was connected with the silver.
Well, they didn't get robbed. They didn't convict him of robbery. Robbery is against the person, of course. Burglary is against the thing.
Uh-huh.
But it was actually it wasn't the house because Sandy lived there. So they didn't get them for that. It was the silver buried in a vault and Pahrump, and Sandy wasn't there. There's no proof that she even knew about it, that Rick was going out there, except for there was a phone call to a cell phone that was Rick's cell phone, but he said when he testified that he had given that cell phone, he thought that was the one he had given Sandy. And that's the only reason I think that they convicted her, too. And she was quite upset about that. I heard her say to her attorney, you know, I don't want a conviction on my record, but my God. But they'll appeal it, and it'll be interesting because I think you're right. There's not evidence to link Sandy to it. I don't think Rick's will be overturned.
By the way, I didn't realize that they had charged Sandy with that conspiracy charge, but I guess they had a whole laundry list, really.
Yeah, it slipped by me. I didn't. I mean, it sort of came out of nowhere, and then at the end, when the prosecutor, Daskus, was wrapping up in the closing statements, he brought up conspiracy over and over and over again, And that was like the first I had heard that, you know, and so they the defense didn't really argue against conspiracy. You know, it was conspiracy to commit murder, of course, but not, they didn't argue against conspiracy on Silver. And it sort of blindsided them, I believe. There are a few things that came out that surprised them, and they were caught off guard. But, you know, they did a heck of a job.
Now, you watched the closing arguments as well. Do you think the closing arguments made a big factor, or?
I think so. I think so. In fact, I interviewed the jurors. You know, they had a news conference with the reporters, and we all went in there and we interviewed them. And we saw my dogs are barking. And we specifically asked about Tony Serra. Did his closing argument, what did they think of it, and did they buy it? And one guy stood up and said, one of the jurors stood up at the podium and said, you know, it was like a Shakespearean festival. But he said, you know, it didn't matter, we believed him. So it didn't matter how he presented it, they believed that, you know, they believed it. And I think that the difference between this trial and the last trial, because I did sit through the first trial as well, is that in the closing remarks and during the trial, throughout, the prosecutors called Rick and Sandy killers, murderers, and in the closing statement, the prosecutor said, you know, put these killers in prison. And this time around, Tony Serra, Rick Tavish's attorney, who's quite famous, said in a pretrial motion, if one of them utters the word killer or murderer, I'm going to ask for a mistrial. And so they didn't do it. And I think that was a big difference. They didn't plant this stuff constantly in the jurors' minds.
Now, how about the judge, Judge Bonaventure, who has been pretty much pro-prosecution, especially in the first trial? Yeah, what kind of reaction? What kind of reaction did he look surprised?
He was pretty deadpan when he read the first page, and then he got to the second page, and I don't know what was on, you know, which one was first, but I know what was read first was Rick, and then the second page must have been Sandy because he was going through it, and there was a surprised look toward the end as he turned to the jurors. There was this surprised look on his face, and he was very mellow, kind of low-key, as were the prosecutors. It's a very, very big loss for them. They spent a fortune on this. I think one of the TV stations estimated that it's $5,000 a day to prosecute this kind of a case, and they paid a fortune, especially to Dr. Michael Bodden, you know, to testify. If you want to talk about Dr. Michael Bodden, I'll tell you what the jury said.
I'd love to hear about it.
With Michael Bodden of...
I mean, I thought that was a pretty far-out theory.
He's the one who came up with so-called birthing, you know, a thing where Sandy was sitting on Rick's chest and smothered him. Because I think the reason the prosecution wanted to try to find somebody to say something, that he died of something else, which no one corroborated, that was because the ingesting Xanax and heroin together, and somebody forcing you to swallow. Number one, experts said you can't swallow something. You know, dogs may, if you lift their head and throw something down it, they'll swallow. People don't. We choke and gag, and we don't swallow it. And they wanted something else, so they found Dr. Michael Bodden. It took them months. And what the jurors said yesterday is, we asked them, did you believe Dr. Michael Bodden? And they said, it was, like you said, too far-fetched. What bothered them were there were 8 experts, his peers, who said it was nuts. There was no evidence, including the Clark County coroner, who saw the body. There was no evidence of suffocation, no evidence of force or anything like that. And so they said they didn't even consider murder.
You know, it seems to... me that the prosecution really was, you know, taking a real risk following this case on through. saying, you know, that he's an experienced drug user and you couldn't have an overdose. I mean, that really goes against common sense.
Oh, it was ridiculous. And, you know, they never called him a sophisticated drug user. They like they did the last time. It was just laughable. They called him an experienced drug user, but the defense brought up witnesses who said that they don't, in fact, build up a tolerance. They'll build up a tolerance while they're using, and then when they go off the drug, and when Ted went off the drug, he would binge on alcohol. And then when he would go back to the drug 3 months later, he would have to build up his tolerance all over again. So that was a bunch of bunk. And plus, tar heroin, in order to make it effective, you have to use it. And in order to get more, you have to inhale more, because he would heat it up and inhale the fumes at the gases. And you have to do more and more, and he overdid it. And then he did the Xanax to not to try to get himself off heroin, as the prosecution contended, but it actually increases the effects of heroin. So the more Xanax you use, the higher the high the effects of heroin. And
you and I talked about that earlier, just like in drinking, even a heavy drinker, if they lay off for a while, their tolerance to the alcohol drops, and they get a little tipsy faster than they normally do. So, I mean, it's just common sense.
This heroin, though, you go back down. You go back down to, you know, like a new user.
Yeah.
If you've been off of it, when you go back, you have to build up your tolerance all over again.
Yeah, that was my point, like, I don't drink very much at all, a couple of beers and I'm flying high.
Yes. Stopped drinking a long time ago. I can't. And my.
Now you're ruining the reputation of newspaper reporters.
Well, I know. My max before was like half a beer and half a glass of wine, and I don't even do that anymore. My body just doesn't assimilate it very well.
Well, that's good. You're a cheap date.
Just, you know, he was a binger. He was.
Yeah, I mean, if it was ever anybody that was going to die, this guy was flirting with death every time he used the most powerful type of heroin, mixed prescription drugs with it. I mean, plus he added alcohol.
Right. And he would do that, but he didn't do that this particular time. There's no alcohol in his system. But what I think was interesting, too, is the defense was able to debunk the theory that he...
Yeah, they debunked a lot of things.
To counter the... Oh, I'm sorry, the bit about all the friends who testified that Ted was up and happy... And they brought in experts who said, well, yeah, when you're high, there's this hours afterward that you stay high and you can function. And that's how they function. And then when they come down, they crash. It's almost like being on methamphetamine. You crash hard and you sleep and you look awful. And
anybody...
He would have highs, but nobody ever saw him.
You may not... You know, may not be old enough to know that, but to remember the man with the golden arm with Frank Sinatra, the movie. I mean, it's pretty obvious what happens on heroin. You get really nice and happy and pleasant. You go around, and he was a musician, I believe, and he could function quite well. And then when he crashed, he really crashed.
Yeah, and they were able to bring that out. That didn't come up last time, and that was really good that they were able to prove that, because the jury the first time said, oh, well, there's no way he killed himself. He was a sophisticated drug user. Well, what the heck is that? So, they, you know, how sophisticated are you if you're buying drugs off the street?
Now, what's the reaction of the Binion family? Were they there?
Yes, in force. They have been in the courtroom for the last week in force. In fact, media and everybody else were displaced and put, you know, in different seats to make room for them in force. It didn't appear to work. Judge Bonaventure's posture changed quite a bit while the Binions and Jack Binion were in the courtroom.
Yeah, we talked about them when Becky Beham was there.
They weren't affected.
Was Becky there this time?
Yes, she was there. And Becky was interviewed and said basically, you know,
okay,
it's over. And they were very somber. and they hightailed it out fairly quickly.
Okay.
But Becky was interviewed later on TV and said that it's, you know, it's over. We accept it. Jack said, I don't agree with it, but I accept it. I don't think they're going to pursue a civil case against them. They want to put it behind them as well. It's over.
Well, besides that, they have already spent a fortune.
Oh, well, they've got lots of money. You know, the whole bunch of them. I mean, Becky was interviewed on court, on TV, as being asked about Sandy. You know, now that Sandy has not been found guilty of murder, she's entitled to the, you know, the house, or at least what it was worth, $300,000 that Ted left her, and whatever the contents of the house were worth. And she said whatever. She said Ted was worth a fortune. He was worth $44 million when he died. And that anything Sandy gets would be minuscule. My sense is that they'll write her a check. I don't think they're going to pursue the court case because she's going to win. So I think they'll just settle.
Yeah, I was wondering about that since they got her on a conspiracy charge.
So that has nothing to do with it. They were not found. The conspiracy is not connected to murder. So therefore, she's entitled to what he left her.
Did the jury explain why they decided to find her guilty on the conspiracy burglary?
They said that because of the phone calls, there were some phone calls that Rick had made, and they felt that he probably had told her. And that's a real stretch. But they felt that, and we asked them why the silver on Rick. And they said even if Ted had told him and given him permission, even if Sheriff Litsky had given him permission, they said it was stupid. Rick had no business being out there. And it's true, he didn't. I mean, of all the dumb things that were done, it was stupid. He shouldn't have, he shouldn't have gone out there. You know, he didn't catch his plane to Missoula that day. And he got all swooped in and caught up on the drama of the Binion family and the attorney for Binion not allowing her into the own home she had lived in for 3 years. And he got all wrapped up in it. And I think that had he caught that plane, you know, it probably wouldn't even have been a murder trial.
What about the silver? What really happened to that silver? Does anybody know? Was it all sold later? Was it all there?
By the family. I mean, Rick didn't take it. He was there. It was there, and he didn't go anywhere with it. It went into the vault with Ted overseeing it. It came out of the vault and went into the belly dumper on the back of a pickup. And then the sheriff's department took custody of it, and it went to their office in Nye County in Pahrump. And from there, it went to Metro, and then in the custody of police as evidence. And then the Binion family got it, and that would be Bonnie Binion, Ted's daughter's property. And I would imagine it was auctioned off.
Was Bonnie there?
She was not there for the verdict. People were surprised. Sandy Murphy's mother, a lot of people think she wasn't there. Her stepmother, she flew in from California. She was there. She was too upset, scared to death, and too upset to go into the courtroom.
Well, that's all understandable.
Oh, Sandy fell apart. It was sad, actually, watching her. And she was just terrified, you know, not because she knew she committed guilt, you know, committed murder, but because she'd been convicted once before for something she said.
Yeah, a lot of these people that say things like that, I know a lot of the conservative talk show hosts are having a field day saying, well, you know, she knew she was guilty, etc. I mean, they're full of it. You've done a lot of these interviews, you know.
Yeah, I did one this morning, and yeah, they did say that, and that is going on in town right now. But
by and large, I get the sense of most people I talk to, and you know, as you know, I was out there for 2 weeks, just got back. Most people thought that Sandy and Rick were innocent.
Yeah, I think that has come. I believe this time around, the truth of the case, what really happened, came out, and I think the most compelling evidence was the closing argument told by Tony Serra about, and we talked about this before, about the casino royalty and casino empire and how dare an outsider get a dime of royalty money. And that's what this was all about. She was an outsider. They didn't want her living in his house because she would have stayed there. It was hers. And they got her with the only thing they could get her with, and hired a high-powered detective.
Was Tom Dillard there?
Oh, he's out behind me. Well, I won't tell you what he said to me.
That's too bad.
He likes to litigate, but he was sitting behind me, and he was interviewed later, I think, on TV, or I heard a quote from him from somebody said they were wrong, but, you know, that's the way it goes or something. He's very blue-collar, but no offense to blue-collar workers, but I don't know, there's something about the guy. But,
And people, I mean, he's been a cop too long, and he's on the payroll of the Binions, made $300,000, $400,000. God knows how much money he made.
Well, he left the Metro Police Department under a cloud of controversy. So, you know, with the case that occurred, and so he does have.
Yeah, I understand. They like to play one-upmanship and like to push people around. You're a police reporter, you know. People, I'm not trying to get you into saying something about Tom.
But it's also the fact that he was paid.
Well, sure, that's what I'm talking about.
$1,000 is a lot of money. He got a $100,000 bonus for that included it for a conviction.
Now, I wonder on the back of those checks if it's reversed, then he has to give the money back.
Yeah. Well, it just sort of makes you wonder about the cost of two trials and everything in the district attorney's office. And now I wonder, you know, I mean, why did they even pursue it to begin with? They're just kowtowing to a royal family of, you know, casino people. And now David Roger, who has his name recognition as district attorney, and, you know, he won a campaign.
Basically, the way I look at it is everybody got their share of the money. They gave Rick and Sandy, especially Sandy, her 4 or 5 years of misery, more than that, really. And they're probably willing to forget it now. I mean, nobody came out a winner on the deal except people like Dillard, who made $400,000.
Yeah, exactly. And Sandy said it on TV last night to a reporter that, you know, it's a win, but it's also a loss. I've lost 6 years of my life, you know, in prison, and I'll never get that back.
Yeah, in these things, there are no winners, unfortunately, except the people like Dillard who made $400,000. They're the ones
who got paid $15,000, $20,000 for their testimony.
And lawyers involved. And the, if there's something about the royal family, the Binion family, not liking an outsider, and there probably is, then I guess they thought the money and time was well worth spent to make somebody pay their pound of flesh. That's kind of the way it works. It's unfortunate.
They're happy. I just get the sense that everybody, it's over. And I don't think you're going to see a civil trial in this case. I think it's over. And I think the Binions will pay her whatever, Rick, or Ted, rather.
Well, we talked about Tony Serra and his group. How about Michael?
So this was a big win for him. I know they had a get-together last night, the defense team and people who helped. But they, he's living in a very big house, from what I understand. So this is, he's not a newcomer. I mean, he's in order to live in a house, great big house.
Well, he's obviously been connected. He's in the Clark County jury system. He worked as an assistant.
And he does federal cases, and so he's very successful. This is a huge feather in his cap. Also for Joe, I can't pronounce his last, who was another attorney who worked with Sarah. Chris Solly, of course, represents.
And Anna Ling, right?
Anna Ling and Sherry.
Sherry Greenberg.
So they told me yesterday that they, toward the end of this trial, had already gotten 4 requests from people here in town to work on certain cases. One is a poison case that they're going to look at and see.
I think that's one where either the widow poisoned the guy or vice versa. I don't remember that case, but I read about it here a while
they're
back.
They're going to look at it, but they're, Tony Serra is particular what he takes. He doesn't take cases where he thinks someone is guilty. And they'll look at the cases, and he's looking forward to working in in Las Vegas again, and I'm sure he will. It was interesting yesterday, he said, after, you know, it's on the courthouse steps when he was surrounded by the media, we asked, you know, how it felt, and he said, you know, I'm not the winner here. You know, Rick was innocent, and he's the winner, but he said, you know, I learned a long time ago to play football without a helmet on. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was a great, you know, the man is full of analogies and metaphors, and it's true, he's a risk taker, and doesn't, and he said, I don't look at it as a victory, I look at, you know, Rick is the victor, and he said, I'm ready to move on to the next phase. He said, I'm tired, just like any attorney is after, and he said, I'm no better than any other criminal defense attorney, I just have a lot of energy.
January 28th is the sentencing date?
Yes.
And they both will be, and...
They'll both be there, and...
I don't know what the possible deal is for conspiracy to commit burglary. It seems to me that that's really, should be a fairly minor charge. I guess it's really up to Bonaventure.
Well, there are three. Two are gross misdemeanors, and one is a felony, and I don't know if it's a gross misdemeanor or a... I forget what the, I don't know if it's a felony, but it's stricter than the gross misdemeanors, and I don't see him being strict. I don't know if he'll be lenient, but maybe somewhere in between, but I mean, what's the point here?
Actually, Sandy Murphy has served a lot of time on a charge that she did not, was found innocent of, so she probably will get time served.
Yes, and probation with any leftover time, and I think with Rick, he could commute the sentence if he wanted to. He could give him probation. There's a lot that he could do. Rick is scheduled to get out in March, and the plan is for him to go to law school. He's learned a lot. He spends his days in the law library at the prison. And
well, if he comes up with a felony conviction, that might be a problem.
He has got a felony conviction. He was in prison years ago for tax evasion.
Each state has different regulations on that.
Practices all over the country.
Well, I understand that. You can go.
But you're right. Well, they tried not to have him because of his record. They tried not to have him as the attorney in this case.
Oh, sure.
Attorney, and it didn't work, and he and they allowed him in, and so I would imagine there are other attorneys who have had convictions. He could always go to work for Tony Sarah.
Well, it's true, and he may. And Tavish is a good-looking guy, so, and he speaks well, so he could be.
Well, it's interesting, during the trial, of course, he was kind of coaching the prosecution a couple of times. You know, well, you can ask me that question on cross. Things like that, because Rick has learned a lot about law.
Yes, he has.
Very active in his own defense.
Now, we're going to wrap this up. Just because the trial's over doesn't mean you and I won't continue talking about things in Las Vegas. Your book, you're redoing it, right?
I'm going to do a second edition, update it, and it should be out in a couple of months, and I would definitely let you know when.
And we'll be talking to you about some of the other cases that you cover, and we really enjoyed meeting you when we were in Las Vegas.
And, right, I enjoyed it.
And so...
First edition of my book, Death in the Desert, by the way, is still available until December.
Right, and if I go to kathyscott.com, that's kathyscott.com, they can get an autographed copy.
Yeah, or they can go to Amazon or, .com or BarnesandNoble.com. But yeah, autographed off my website.
Fantastic. And I really felt that they would probably be found innocent. I thought of all charges, but this conspiracy to commit burglary I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, well, it's a lot better than murder.
Yes, it is. And I know there were a couple of times you and I talked, and you were concerned a little bit, and so was I, because there were a lot of rulings that I thought should have been allowed in for the defense that weren't. It might have been a real slam dunk. But, you know, that's hindsight. As everybody says, it's over.
Yep, it's over. It's over.
Thank you very much, Kathy.